place.
Hallelujah.
He's worthy of all my praise. Never will a rock fail in my place. He's worthy of all my praise. Never will a rock cry out in my place. He's worthy of all my praise. I just came to magnify. I just came to glorify. I just came to praise the Lord. I just came to praise the Lord. I came to magnify the Lord. Praise His holy name. Lift Jesus higher. Lift Jesus higher. I just came to magnify. I just came to glorify. I just came to praise the Lord, for He is worthy, worthy of all my praise, for He is worthy, worthy of all my praise, for He is worthy. Worthy, worthy of all my praise. Never will a rock cry out in my place. He's worthy of all my praise. Never will a rock cry out in my place. He's worthy of all my praise. Never will a rock cry out in my place. He's worthy of all my praise. Never will a rock cry out in my place. He's worthy of all my praise. I just came to magnify. I just came to glorify. I just came to praise the Lord. I came to magnify the Lord. I came to praise His holy name.
I'm gonna lift Him.
Lift Jesus higher,
lift Jesus higher.
I just came to magnify. I just came to glorify. I just came to praise the Lord.
In this very old song. Verse 1, please.
All hail the power of Jesus. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord.
Yeah.
thinking, if the angels are in very close proximity to the presence of God, and they're bound with their wings hitting the floor, and my desire is to be close to the presence of God, may my heart and reverence bow before Him.
Yes.
It's an overwhelming thought to encounter the presence of God. We're all going to have that appointment someday. And I choose to do this now. Everybody that has ever breathed the breath of life is going to stand before Him, is going to bow before Him. Yes. But I'm going to choose to bow before Him right now.
Yes.
Nobody's going to have a choice at that appointed time. But this appointed time, I have an opportunity. It's not even an obligation. It's an opportunity. I have an opportunity to worship in His presence. The angels, I believe that they are instructed to do this. But God gave me my free will. I want to worship Him. I want to bow before Him. I want to be close to Him. Whatever it takes, Lord, I want to be close and near to You. Aren't you thankful for the opportunity to be in His presence, to be close proximity to Him today in Jesus' name? We are going to continue in our Sunday school lesson. This week's lesson is simply about doing God's work, and I am encouraged to be a part of a church that is actively doing God's work. We're together, we're thinking about doing God's work, we're talking about doing God's work, we're planning together jointly about doing God's work in the church, outside of the church, and it's an exciting time to be a part of the church of God. And doing God's work, it's encouraging. We encourage one another when we do God's work. So we're going to get into the scripture here, and our text is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 10. It says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and our labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show us of what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." You could be seated at this time. I'll never forget when God filled me with His Spirit. It was a defining moment in my life. It is the defining moment in everyone's life when God fills you with His Spirit. Looking back at that moment, I see how the Holy Ghost was leading me. He was guiding me. He was teaching me. It wasn't just an amazing one-time experience. He didn't just leave me at the altar and say, "I'm done with you." But He said, "This is something more than that. This is a new beginning for you. I have more to show you. I have more that I want you to do in the kingdom of God." And one thing, a misconception of those that haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet, that hasn't received God's salvation plan in your life, it's not the pinnacle of things. It's just the beginning. It's a threshold of things. It's when you experience this in your life, It's you see things differently. You see things in a whole new light. Your past is gone. You have a brand new beginning. It's literally a spiritual birth. It's a new birth process, and it's something exciting. I look back and I'm exciting to where God brought me from, and I'm exciting from that where He brought me through that threshold from earthly to heavenly, and that one moment, an unforgettable Sunday morning. But He has more for me. It wasn't just a one-time thing, a one-and-done thing, but it was the beginning of something new and something more in my life, and it's a continuing process of learning and growing and doing God's work. I'm not where I was in 2004 when God filled me with the Spirit. I'm not where I was in 2017 and 2018. I'm continually moving. I'm continually growing. If I'm not growing, literally, if you're not growing, you're dying. If a plant stops growing, it will die. It's the same with us. I need to spiritually grow continually in my walk with God, and I believe that there are elders in the church that will testify of this, that it is good, it is important to continue to have a teachable spirit, to continue to have a desire to grow in the knowledge and grace in our Lord Jesus Christ, because God still has more for Brother Callum at his age. He still has more for Sister Doris at her age and for Brother Davis at his age. He's got more for all of us. It's just a wake up. I still have breath in my lungs. God has something new for me today. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to be attentive to it. Lord, I'm excited for what you have for me. I don't know what you have for me. I'm going to walk by faith today in Jesus' name. I'm excited to what you have in store. I want to be an example to the generation before me and just keep moving forward. I'm going to put one foot in front of the other and anticipate and work hand in hand with my brothers and sisters, one generation to another, worshiping the Lord together, anticipating the return of our God together in Jesus' name. It's okay to be excited in church. I walked into an apostolic Pentecostal church this morning, a spirit-filled church. It's okay to clap your hands. It's okay to raise your hand and agree. Amen means yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, I agree with my brothers and sisters. I am anticipating the coming of the Lord. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the coming of the Lord. But I have work to do until he comes. I have a personal obligation. I have a job to do. We all have a job to do until he comes. And I want to do it. I want to be obedient to it. I want to be submissive to what he has for me. Because my role may be different than your role. And your role is going to be different than somebody else's role in the church. But God has fitly joined us together in the body to do and to operation and function. My hands can't walk. That's okay, but I need my hands to do things that my feet can't do. I need my eyes to do that my ears can't do. We all function together in a church body together, and we're all fitly joined together for a purpose. God gave the church a fivefold ministry. He gave some pastors and some teachers and some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists. And if you don't know what your role is in life, make your calling and election sure. Get alone with God. Lord, I want to be teachable. I want to be what you want me to be. I don't want to waste your time. I don't want to waste anybody else's time, the people that have mentored me in my life. I want to do what you want me to do. If it's being a doorkeeper in the house, I want to do it. I want to do it to the best of my ability. If it's cleaning the bathrooms, I want to do it to the best of my ability. If it's vacuuming the floors, if it's being an usher, I want to do it the best of my ability. In Jesus' name, we all have a particular role to do in this church. And I see a church that is doing it well. But we're doing it with a teachable spirit to where, God, what can I do to do a better job myself? Because the things that I see here are going to be different in the things to come. You're going to add to the church. So what am I going to do? What can I do to anticipate? What can I do right now? For this change, for this end time revival that you're going to bring here to Sandwich, in Jesus' name, he's not just going to bring it to Sandwich, but it's going to be massive. It's going to be just spread throughout the world in these last days. What can I do? How can I pray for a particular missionary? I can't go to the mission field. I can support them financially, but they also need my prayers. How can I support my missionary or the missionaries besides just putting a check? Or paying through Breeze and just making a deposit, how can I help them? Does somebody on the mission field, do their kids need clothes? Do they need any books to read? Is there something that I could do more? Lord, I want to do more for your kingdom and for your namesake. hallelujah. I'm a little thirsty here. Hang with me. I had one of those dad moments this week when I took Kara to go shopping for a dress, and I got thinking about it. In 2 months, I got another one graduating from high school, and having a dad moment, it kind of takes you off guard. You look at your child, and you think about what it was like when you took them to their first day of school, and when they finish eighth grade, they're going into high school, and now They're talking about going to college, and it's just it's one of those things where I didn't see it coming, where you get kind of struck with emotion. You're like, oh man, it's just part of life, and you get broadsided by it, and it's a good thing. But I'm thankful for every stage in life that I get to be as a parent, to see them born, to see them go to their first time to their Sunday school classroom as a toddler, to see them mature and go into the primary class, to see them go into the youth class, to see them mature and to develop spiritually. And it's God's desire also for us as Christians to grow and develop as well. There's three things he wants for us to do. He wants for us to grow in the grace and knowledge of him and to be more like him as we have fellowship with him. We cannot be like him if we don't have fellowship with him. It's important to have fellowship with him every day and to adopt his mission of seeking and to saving those who are lost. I have a responsibility to do my job to maintain my relationship with him and to line up my will with his will. And I got thinking about this, about lining my will up with God's will. And I'm going to skip ahead here because I don't want to. This is very important. When praying the Lord's Prayer, does anybody still do that? Do you kind of do it out of repetition? We were asked to do that a few months ago. And I got thinking about this, about praying, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this daily day. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. Amen. It's easy to do and to make it repetition, and we just kind of skim right over it. But lately I've been pondering over different pieces of that prayer. And God wants to give us revelation if we allow him to give us revelation. And there was something about our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed thee by name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And thy will be done, and I'm like fixated on thy will be done. And I am not going any farther, and I'm dwelling on that particular portion of the prayer that Jesus is teaching his people how to pray. In praying for God's will to be done, he gives every one of us a will, right? And we have the power to do what we want to do. He gives us that. He gave Adam and Eve the power and a will to do, to choose to be obedient or choose to cross the line. He gives all of us the power and a will to do something. But there's something about when I line this will with his will, and there's a letting go process. When I release my will and let God's will be done, there's something where letting go by definition means allowing someone or something to go. I want someone or something to be released in my life. Can you imagine? We limit things by our will and our desire and our own ability. It's so limited. But if we put aside our will and say, Lord, let your will be done, we're allowing God to let go of something and something to be released, to where losing control is a good thing. It's not a bad thing to lose control of our will and say, Lord, let your will be done. Let it be done personally in my life. But, Lord, let it. Can you imagine if we all came here collectively and we said, Lord, I'm done with my will. I'm going to lay it before you today because I want you to have free will. I want you to release and let something go from heaven here today in this place. I am holding something back. I am holding you back. But when God, I believe he does this every Sunday. He comes right up to our will, and he says, I'm going to do something. I'm going to release something powerful in this church, but I can only go and meet you at your will. But if we allow ourselves, God, I surrender my will to your will. Today, I am laying it down. I'm laying it down right here. I'm not going a step further. Can you imagine what would happen in this place if we collectively, together, surrendered our will? God, I give it before you. We're all coming up here. We give an offering. We give money, our tithes and offerings every week. But I have something that God says, if you give it to me, I'm going to do something amazing. I'm going to do something mind-blowing in this place. But I can only do so much according to how your will is allowing me to do something. I don't know about you, But I want to get past that. I want to graduate from this. I want to get to where, Lord, I want you to do something that you've never done before. I want you to do something you've been desiring to do for weeks and months, for years in my life, for years and months and weeks in this church. But he's at this threshold. He says, I want to do this for you, but the only thing stopping me is your will. In the Lord's Prayer, he says, give your will to me. My kingdom's going to come. There's something going to fall from heaven in this place if you will release your will and let my will be done in this place. It's hard to wrap our minds around things, especially heavenly things. But God says, you just be obedient. You just do what I ask you to do, and I will do things that you can never even imagine, that you can't comprehend, that you can't wrap your mind around. I'm going to do it. That's just a little portion of that prayer. How powerful is the Word of God when we just ponder on it? Buzz through it. There's times I'm guilty of just buzzing through my daily devotion. How many chapters can I get done? Can I get, how far in April can I get in March? How far in May can I get in April or June? You know, am I just looking forward to this little token of bread that we get at the first of every month for completing the previous month? Or am I just fixated on maybe a portion of scripture? God, you want to reveal something to me. I need to get intoxicated with a little bit of revelation. God, his word is there the whole time, but how often am I stunting my growth personally by not just say, God, what is it that you are trying to show me and to reveal to me in your word here? And this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I've been fixated on this thing for quite a while, to be honest with you. I've been praying this prayer for weeks and months, and I'm gonna let God do something. I'm going to allow God to do something in my life that I'm not able to do. Can we, with an uplifted hand, allow God to do something in our church together that only He is able to do? And it's going to require a surrendering of my will. The Lord is at that threshold of our will. And he's there every week after week, month after month, year after year. He goes, I want you to get past this. He goes, I've been at the threshold of this for a very long time, but I want to release something. I want to release something heavenly that I've never released before in this place, something supernatural that I've never been able to do because I've been at the threshold of your will. Lord, I want your will to be done in this place in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Jesus came here to save sinners. His entire ministry was about healing the sick, raising the dead, healing men and women, leading men and women to repentance and forgiving of sins. As he ministered, he gathered a group of disciples around him, and he mentored them. But they had to allow themselves to be mentored. John 14:12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He's going to his Father. He goes, greater works shall ye do. I've never laid hands on somebody yet, Brother Kelm, and I've seen him raised from the dead. There's people that are coming every week for healing. We're still believing that God's going to heal them. There are people here that have yet to be healed in this church that have the faith that God's going to heal somebody. They're like, Lord, I'm releasing my will to let your will be done. I want to be healed, but I want more your will to be done. I want somebody that doesn't believe you be healed. And Lord, if you don't heal me in this life, that's fine, but you're going to heal me in a life to come. Because I want heaven and earth to come to somebody that doesn't know you, that hasn't experienced heaven on earth yet. And I'm going to bypass my wants, my desires, my wills, my passions, and let your will be done. And I started praying on it, praying over my kids. Lord, when they were little, I said, Lord, I pray, Lord, for your salvation plan to be fulfilled in their life. You know how selfish is that at times? There is more than my three kids that that God wants to fill with His Spirit, and that God wants to He wants them to be baptized in His name. So I'm like expanding my prayer list. I'm like, Lord, anybody that hasn't been baptized in Your name, anybody that hasn't received Your Spirit, Lord, I want to start praying for them daily. It's just as important for them, for Your salvation blood to be fulfilled in their life, it is for my children. He wants to expand the kingdom. He wants to do something, really something, but I'm limiting Him by it's just a narrow-minded thought process. Lord, take the limits off of my mind. Take the limits off of what we allow You to do from week after week, Lord, in here in this place, in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, You want to do so much more. Lord, forgive us. Lord, may we turn our hearts and thoughts towards You in Jesus' name, Lord. May Your kingdom come and Your will be done in this place in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was at Herrick a few weeks ago, and Brother Shatwell, if anybody ever met this guy, he looks like I refer to it as an apostolic version of Arnold Schwarzenegger. He is a big dude. He's the biggest guy I've ever seen behind a pulpit. He's almost intimidating when he stands up here. And I remember him speaking, and he was mentioning this about when he would pray and how he would get along with God. And he felt like when he was praying, he was walking through rooms and through certain places. And when he got done, he goes, I felt good after praying the way I did. So he said, I did it again. He goes, After I prayed the way I prayed that particular time, and I was felt like I was going in rooms and around situations and seeing things with the spiritual eyes, he's like, man, I even felt better. So he goes, he did it a total of 3 times. When he got done praying the 3rd time, God spoke to him, and He said, you just prayed my prayer list. Lord, take the limits. I limit him. I limit him in my drive and how much I talk to him, how much I hear his word, going to and from the work at times. It's a disciplined thing to get up earlier in the morning and have devotion time to come out, get out of bed, and you don't have your coffee in the morning and you're so tired, but to roll out of bed and get on your knees and say, Lord, You're worthy, God. You're worthy of the first fruit of this day, Lord. I don't want to go. I don't want to leave this day. I don't want to leave this area. I don't want to leave beside my bed, Lord. I don't want to leave this house without You, God. I need You, Lord. I need to be prayed up because there's others that don't know You the way I know You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I want You. I desire, Lord, for Your kingdom come, for Your will to be done, Lord. Not just every Sunday morning and Wednesday night, Lord, but when I go to work, when I'm out at the store in the area, Lord, when I'm outside getting the mail and the neighbors are outside, walking around, and they see when I come to church and when I come back home from church, and they see, may they see You. May they see You in me. Lord, take the limits off that You can release something heavenly in this place here today. There's a wonderful story about how God made a connection with Zacchaeus. And we heard this story of Zacchaeus growing up in school, in Sunday school. But he was a publican. That means he was a Jewish tax collector. And publicans and sinners in the scripture were identified parallel. When you read the scriptures, it says publicans and sinners. And so he had this kind of reputation already with the Jews, with his own people. And he was being hated by his own people. For one, being a publican. For two, he had this small guy syndrome where he never really had this growth spurt. And so that caused him to be a loner growing up. That caused him to be kind of isolated from everyone else. I'm sure he got picked on. I'm sure it was not a good thing. I'm sure he wasn't the one that was getting called out when we were playing dodgeball in gym. I'm sure he was the very last one. Okay, by default, you got to go to this side. He was not the first one. He wasn't even the last one to be picked. He was just there by chance. I'm sure the people didn't come over when he had invites for birthdays when he got to a certain age because he didn't mature in stature the way a lot of people matured in stature. But there was something that God noticed, and it was God sees you when you're alone. He sees you when nobody else is around. He knows those times of loneliness, and he knows those times of brokenness. But one day he heard a cry in the street as Jesus came near, and he tried to press through the crowd, but knowing no one was going to let him in. Zacchaeus, he was a desperate man. He heard the noise grew, and he knew Jesus was drawing near, and he knew he was paralleled with sinners by his occupation, but he knew that the one he was trying to find in the crowd was paralleled with hope. And I got thinking about this part. How many people are in our crowd that we go to work with every day, that we see in the stores, are looking through all the people that they encounter, that is there somebody that is paralleled with hope? I am in a hopeless situation. I don't see any light at the end of my tunnel. But there is God's lighthouses that are illuminating, that are shining in this dark world for them to see somebody that is paralleled with hope. This isn't just one of those stories that I recall hearing that when I was a child, but this is something that adults can relate to. Adults that relate to loneliness, the adults that feel rejected. God is calling those ones that feel hopeless, the ones that feel emotionally distressed, the ones that feel ashamed. He is reaching out to them. How is he reaching them? Whose hands can he use to reach out to them? Whose heart can he use to intercede for them? Lord, let your kingdom come and your will be done in my heart and my mind, because there's people that need to be reached in our area in Jesus' name. There's a call and a cry out to this, but there's an excitement and anticipation because I believe we can taste it. We have an appetite for it, for God's kingdom come, for his will to be done in this place, to be done in our lives personally, to see his kingdom come and his will be done in somebody's life who's never experienced this before for the first time, to see the look on their face. I remember going in Addison, I remember going to revival a few years ago, and every person that came up to the altar that received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when they walked away, I've been to Great America. I know what it's like to see people when they get off a ride, if the wind blew in their face. They had a fresh wind from heaven that just blew in their face, and they encountered something heavenly. And I want that to happen to more people here in this place in Jesus' name. And I believe others here as well want this to happen. The traditional Jews were set back that Jesus would even think or even choose to visit Zacchaeus when he noticed Zacchaeus up on the tree. He made an effort. Zacchaeus made an effort. God notices your secret effort when nobody else is looking. That alone time, that prayer time with God, God sees that. You got God's attention. He said, because you had a desire to draw close to me, now I have a desire to draw close to you. It takes me and my part. I have to have that desire first. I have to initiate that first step. Lord, I have a desire to see you. I don't really care. Jesus doing his will, he did not care what the crowd thought. He didn't care what those traditional Jews thought. He only cared to please God. You're gonna come to this threshold, and God's gonna ask you to do something, and you're gonna have to make a decision. Am I going to please you, God, or am I going to go please popular opinion? And it's going to be a testing time. When you pass that test, God says, I have more for you. Now's not the time to be have tickling ears to, I just want to digest. I just want to hear what I want to hear, and I choose to do what I want to do. You know what? If that's all you want, that's all you're going to get out of it. He wants to grow his people. He wants to have a relationship with his people. He doesn't want you to be where you are a year ago. It doesn't matter what season of life you're in. It does not matter how many years have you been in this. He wants you to keep growing and keep moving forward. He has a moving forward kind of mindset. He has a looking forward kind of mindset. He has a heavenward mindset. Because I go to prepare a place for you. I am thinking ahead. I want you to move forward as I move forward. Walk with me. Talk with me. Keep one foot in front of the other. Walk. Stay within hand's distance of me, Lord. I want to be close to you, God. Where are you taking me today? Where are you going? Your kingdom's coming to somebody today. Lord, I want to be where you're going here. When I wake up tomorrow morning, Lord, where are you taking me? Lord, I need a sense of the Spirit. I don't want to miss something that you want to impart. Maybe somebody just needs a word of encouragement. I need to. Maybe somebody needs to see to be identified with hope. Paul wrote of growing unto a holy temple, into a Lord, and growing up into him in all things, which is ahead, even Christ. And I felt quickened in my spirit when I was studying last night, and I felt like I need to say this. If you refuse to grow, it's an insult to God himself and the ones who invested their time and effort in mentoring you personally. God wants you to grow. And for you to choose to say, you know what, I want to keep doing what I'm doing, it's a slap in God's face. He wants you to grow. I can't even imagine. God's work is to reach the lost, to disciple, and to establish, to mature Christians. We could participate through witnessing and training new converts, but the third part, only he can do. It's only him that he is able to prepare a place. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Look forward, look ahead, think ahead. Paul indicated that he was taken up into the third heaven. However, it was not lawful for him to utter the words that he heard. In 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." John describes the New Jerusalem with its 12 foundations of precious stones, the walls of jasper, gates of pearl, streets of gold, the crystal river, the water of life, and the throne of God and the Lamb. It's almost impossible to comprehend a city that is illuminated by the glory of God and the Lamb. Heaven will be heaven because he will be there and we will be with him. I'm going to close with this. You can stand at this time. When Joseph and Mary came looking for Jesus in the temple in Jerusalem, he said in Luke 2:49, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Just as Jesus had to be about his Father's business, we have to be about our Heavenly Father's business as well. We all have a responsibility to make the Lord's work our work. He's empowered us to be a witness, to be his hands and feet, to have his heart of compassion for the lost. I got thinking about this, and I don't want to skip this part. It was I was reminded by this by Brother Randall. Does anybody remember how he held up that picture? And when sin was entered into that picture, and that picture represented how I saw things through the Holy Spirit, living a Holy Spirit-filled life. And every time sin entered in, he used to put a tissue in the pitcher of water, and he couldn't see. He couldn't see out of that after a while. I was at passing the mantle, and Eli Hernandez, it was almost like he just said this right in the middle of his message. He said, "The ones that are that have walked away from God, don't invite them to church." I know this sounds different. He said, pray that God would open their eyes to see where they are at. The prodigal sons, at one moment, his eyes were open and he saw where he was at. He said, this is no place for me to be. I had a way better off in my father's house. We need to pray for God to open the eyes of the blind. That's one of his abilities that he does. It's not hard for him. He could do more in one moment, like he did for that prodigal in that pig pen. His eyes weren't open until one instant, one moment. I see where I'm at now, and I see where I need to be. We could just have a spirit of intercessory prayer. Lord, we stand in the gap. Lord, I pray, Lord, that there is somebody here, Lord, that has walked away from you, Lord. Their eyes are blind. They can't see where they're at. They can't find their way back to you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would open their eyes, Lord, that you would take the scales off their eyes, Lord, that they would see where they're at, where they are and where they need to be, that they would remember, Lord, being in your presence, Lord, and hearing your voice and being in fellowship with you and with brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.